Welcome to the Pine Row Podcast. We're your hosts, Amber
and Mackenzie. Grab your coffee and let's cover all things ranging from kids, classroom, and business.
We're here to help you navigate the feral children and guide you through a day of what play-based learning looks like.
Let's pitch the old ways of learning and get children empowered and hands-on with their own learning.
Now let's get started and calm the chaos. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about self-help in preschool.
As parents and caregivers, we want to help our preschoolers grow and become more independent. One way to achieve this is by teaching them self-help skills. Self-help skills for preschoolers are essential life skills that enable children to take care of themselves and their surroundings.
So what does that look like in preschool? That would be using utensils, so like your spoons and your fork at lunch, not using our hands to continue to feed ourselves, and using an open top cup.
I think people think we're crazy when we hand 18-month-old kids an open top cup to drink out of.
That doesn't mean a water bottle with a lid that closes, mm-hmm. so there's no spills. Mm-hmm. That is a open top drinking cup.
Yes. And towards the beginning of the year, we have at least 3 to 4 spills a day at lunch.
It happens. Minimum. But as the adult in the room to teach this skill, it doesn't mean you need to fill the cup all the way full.
No.
It doesn't mean that you need to fill it halfway full. For our 18 months, sometimes it looks just like a couple sips mm-hmm. in the cup to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And we just refill it as we go. As they build their confidence with using a cup, as we build our own confidence mm-hmm. in letting them use this skill, you can help stop the spilled milk theory.
Yes. Yes.
You don't absolutely. Have to cry over spilled milk. We no. can use open top cups. We are resilient. Mm-hmm. We can learn. It is okay.
Yes. I think another one of our good teaching self-help skills is when we do like our dumping and pouring sensory bins too, so that they can see and have it in their hands and figure out, okay, if I turn my wrist like this, then I can pour liquid into a cup, or I can pour whatever we have in our sensory bin, whether it be liquid or oats or stones or whatever we have in it.
And in that overflow is a learning moment. Mm-hmm. So is this container bigger? Yes or no? If I overpour here, it's a safe space where I can overpour and experiment those type of behaviors and trials where I'm not going to be like, well, why'd you spill that?
Right.
There's not going to be an adult hovering over me being like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an uh-oh space. It's a learning space where those yes. things can happen.
Yes.
And we can test trial them.
Yes. Another one for us, or like in our preschool, that we can teach is dressing themselves. I mean, not dressing like their clothes, because obviously they come to school dressed, but getting their coats on, getting their socks on, getting their shoes on. In wintertime, it may take us an hour to get ready to go outside, but the kids are learning how to
only be outside for 10 minutes to yes. come back in.
Yes, but they're learning how to put their snow pants on. We have a chart that we put up that first we put on snow pants, then we put on our boots. Then we put on our coat. Then we put on our hat. And then we put on our gloves.
And we put the gloves on last.
Last.
Because we need our hands to finish dressing the jobs.
Yes. And then when we put our coats on, we always teach them the preschool flip so that they can learn how to put their coats on by themselves. And then,
Where did the preschool flip even come from?
No
idea. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember I feel like it came from you from somewhere.
Maybe. I don't really remember.
I don't remember it.
I just feel like we've just been doing it and teaching it for so long that it's just.
And for all you guys that don't know the preschool flip, it is you put the coat on the ground and then you stand at the hood, you reach your arms in, and then you flip it up and over your head. So yeah. The child gets both their hands in the sleeves at once.
Yep.
And they can move quickly on to the next task without waiting for someone to hold the coat to put their other arm in. Or when they run in cute little circles trying to get their other arm in and they're just chasing their coat arm
yes.
like a dog in their tail.
Yep. and make sure they're standing at the hood. Because if they do it the other way, then their coat's going to be upside down. And we have that happen a lot.
Still embrace it that they did it, but just be like, oh, we're upside down.
Yep.
But once they learn the preschool flip, there you will never have to help them put their coat on.
But, you know, at the beginning of wintertime, we're always like, Amber and I just, you know, completed a Olympic sport by the time we are done helping these children get all of their snow gear on. But like by the end of winter, we just sit there and we're like, who needs our help? And nobody ever needs our help.
Not even with gloves and fingers. Usually it's just like, my zipper's stuck.
Yes. Zippers. That's another one.
That self-help skill. Yes. Zippers.
Zippers.
And buttons.
Yes.
Buttons in children's clothes are kind of on the out. Like, usually you only get a couple flannels with them. Mm-hmm. But the snap buttons on jeans.
Always.
I think I just
can't button my jeans.
I think I despise the hook buttons.
They're the worst.
I don't know who made those and why they thought it would be a great idea to put them on children that are potty training and potty train children pants.
I feel like that's when we have the most accidents is when they wear the hook pants.
Well, half the time I can't even get the hooks undone. Yes. I'm always like, suck your belly in. Yes. I can't get it.
Yes. Hygiene. Our kids, when we eat breakfast, when we eat lunch, when we eat snacks, they go in and have to wash their hands first. They do it all by themselves. We have a little ladder stool thing that goes up to our sink. They know that they get one pump of soap. We scrub and wash our hands. We get one paper towel. We dry our hands. And then we go eat or do whatever we're doing. And then also, when we are playing inside and we're transitioning to like going outside or doing something, the kids clean up the room. That's one of their self-help skills, is they need to learn how to put the toys away and make sure that they are in the correct place.
Which, doing this is going to cause your child to negotiate, because they're going to be like, I can't do it.
Always.
It's either, I can't do it. No. And it's going to cause frustration, because it's a new skill that they're learning to put in their toolbox.
Yep.
And failure is going to come their way.
It will. And they're going to get frustrated, but
it's teaching them resiliency. Yep. So in a response to these big feelings about these new skills that they're getting frustrated with, is to embrace failure.
Mm-hmm.
So take the all or nothing out of their brain set. Mm-hmm. And we should too as adults, honestly, yep. Because not anything in life is either all or nothing.
Right.
I think we need to eliminate that out of preschoolers, where if you can't get your coat, then us adults are like, ugh, okay, whatever, I'll just do it for you.
Yes.
Like,
don't do it for them.
Stop it.
Yes.
Take that out.
Yes. And I always like to kind of add in like a self, or like a story to, like, from myself. Like, they couldn't get their coat on. One time I couldn't get my coat on either. And I feel like that always gives them like some confidence too, that it's, they know that it's not just them. They know they're not alone.
Yeah, and failure's going to happen. I mean, either your first try, your second try, your 20th try, kids are going to do it, adults are going to do it. Let's just take the moral judgment out. It's not, it doesn't have to be, I couldn't do it, so it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't do it, help me, like, teach me.
Yes.
Even as adults, like, our mindset is, or I guess should be, is you attempted, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try it a different way. Yep. So for a kid, that could be, you built a tower in the classroom, it fell down, it didn't work out. Yep. That's okay. How can we rebuild and restructure to make that tower happen?
Right.
Which is going to teach them in the long term self-help skills. So those moments where they can't button their shirt just yet because they can't get the finger movement, that's okay. We need to just work on other tasks that can build your finger movements to button that shirt or button that pair of pants.
Yes.
Or hook that button hook on those jeans.
Yes. I also think that some of the self-help skills is for a child, like we said, potty training, knowing when to use the bathroom, knowing when.
Like, you need, like, the stairs, like, other stuff that you need I mean, just to go to the bathroom. It's different than just having the potty feel. You need to have the confidence that you can go into the bathroom either by yourself or with an adult to help you, and that you can put the step stool on or climb up on your potty without anything to then go to the bathroom, and you can rip the toilet paper off the toilet paper roll.
Yes, yes.
Without unrolling the entire roll. Because I guess let's put them in their shoes. Like, you're small, you're climbing up on this giant thing, you're being forced to either balance or you're sitting on a potty chair, and then you have to get this paper off. If you get too much, then you get reminded of, okay, use less. So then you get less the next time, but it wasn't enough. And now you got an itchy butt because you didn't wipe right. Like, potty training's a big deal.
It is. It is. And there's so many good teaching moments, like, in it.
And it doesn't, once again, it's not an all or nothing. It's not, okay, well, you went pee all day yesterday on the potty, today you're not doing it, I give up, we're done.
Right.
You're not ready.
No.
That's not true.
No.
Maybe today I'm just more interested in building towers, or today I'm just more interested in being outside.
Yes. Yep.
And it's frustrating when you're in those moments and an adult keeps reminding you that you have to leave your play.
You had another accident.
To go do something. Yes. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Another way that we can teach it here or at school is by opening all their own stuff. Like, if we're eating, they're working on opening their own string cheese. If we have like a little snack that's in a bag, they are working on opening it by themselves.
Oranges.
Obviously, oranges is a big one. Amber and I's fingers are always burning by the time we're done opening 12 oranges a day.
At least in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But then we'll always help them when we're getting adjusted in the classroom, obviously. Yes. But then midway through, we're kind of like, oh, I'll get it started for you.
Yes. Yes.
I'll start it. You finish it.
Mm-hmm. I always laugh when we have like bag stuff and we should start taking tallies of how many times we're like, pinch, pinch, pull. Pinch, pinch, pull. Remember, pinch, pinch, pull. Or when they open it and then everything goes flying.
It's like confetti.
Yes.
But they did it themselves.
They did it. And they're always so proud of themselves.
And I will always be there to either get a new bag on their tray quickly before the tears happen.
Yes.
Or to help them clean it up.
Yes.
Another example of how we use self-help in the classroom is nap time or rest time. So the children are responsible for getting their own blankets out of their cubbies, putting them on their beds, making their beds.
Yes.
And then the mind-blowing is they're responsible to crawl into their beds and lay down. And they do it.
That's one of my favorite things, too, is always, how do you get these kids to sleep? Or how do you get them to do all this? It's like, we just encourage them and
we empower them and we let them decide.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I know when I get fresh sheets in my bed and I make it, the first thing I do is jump in and see how cozy it is.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
The same thing with kids.
Yep.
Same thing with kids.
Yeah. The Pine Row classroom is full of community helpers engaging in self-help skills. And I always love when the kids start feeling more confident in themselves, and then when they start helping the other kids too. Like when they're like, hey, you know, maybe you could stand on the other side of your coat to do the preschool flip.
Or, hey, try flipping your shoes. Yes. They always do it in the nicest way possible.
Yes, and it melts my heart. I feel like all day long we're like, oh, thank you for helping them. That was so sweet.
Or they become experts over stuff that you didn't think needed an expert.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I am the blueberry expert. You have 7 blueberries.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yes.
I can now eat my lunch. We just wanted to tune in today, guys, and talk about self-help and why it's important, what it looks like in a preschool classroom, make you feel more comfortable about self-help at home.
Mm-hmm.
And make you feel more confident in empowering the kids to have self-help. We don't always need to do their things. They can do it too. Obviously, we're here for support, but they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage them to do it.
Yes. Yes.
We're not
don't
neglecting them. Don't helicopter.
Nope.
Let them figure it out. Failure is a part of learning.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we would love for you to share this podcast and leave us a review.
Please feel free to follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Pine Row Preschool and Childcare, or our website, www.pinerowpreschool.com, where we share our philosophy in action.
Until next time, calm your chaos.